Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
The purpose of the message today for you, the purpose of why we're here, my hope for you, is that it brings out the best in you. That's how I want you to think. Am I doing my best? Is this my best effort? Have I tried my hardest? You know, everything we do at Guts Church is consistently endeavoring to bring out the best in people. It really is. I believe it personally. There's little things, there's little parts of the culture here that you guys have heard it 100 times if you've been here for a few months, that if a staff person walks by a piece of trash and doesn't pick it up, it's a fireable offense. I've got a new one, okay? If a staff person walks by you and they are on their phone and they don't make eye contact with you or don't greet you or don't say hey to you, show them the door, all right? Put that phone in your dadgum pocket and let's deal with people. Man, if you guys need a cell phone, there were hundreds of them along that path from the Rio Grande up to the wall. They got submerged. You guys could find somebody that could put some salt or some pepper or some sand on it or something and rub it with essential oil or something and get it to fix it, okay? It's voodoo. But that slipped. You know what I'm saying? God works in our lives. Let me through His grace. And that's real hard for us because we're thinking God works. I think we're convinced that God works in our lives through our talents and our skills. He works in my life with my ability. And that's not what it is. It's never our ability. It's always His power and His supernatural ability. And the favor, listen, write this down, the favor of God. The favor of God that's on your life, that's how God works. See, you might think, well, I don't know if I fit in here. You know why you're thinking that? The only reason you're thinking that is because the devil is trying to deceive you into thinking you don't fit in God's plan. You don't fit in with God. If you don't fit in with people, let me tell you, the church has stepped in it for generations. The church has been mean. The church has been rude. The church has been narrow-minded. The church has been bigoted. Man, the church, anybody, for generations, the church, man, you're not our kind. You're not our people. Man, who's this? I remember somebody saying, man, this church you want to start, man, it's like a radio station. You gotta pick a style. And I'm like, I don't want to pick a style. And they said, well, there's country radio stations, and there's rock radio stations, and there's classical, and there's rap, and there's all the, man, you got to pick one. And it's like, I don't want to. I don't want a piece of the pie. I don't want a sliver of the pie. I want the whole dadgum pie. I'm not kidding you. Man, we're not up here to take third strikes. We're not up here just to go three and out every time we take the field. No, we're going to take the field. We're going to get a first down. We're going to move the chains. We're going to end up scoring. We're going to have your back against the wall. That's the kind of pressure that we're going to put on the darkness. Is anybody with me on that? Yes. See, God works in us through His grace, His power. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by His Spirit. Some trust in horses and some in chariots. But we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Everybody say all. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. According, now listen, to the power that works in us. See, I'm not looking for God. God, where's your power? God's your power. God, your power's right here. God, you picked the right person. You know why? Without you, I'm an empty vessel. Without you, I've got nothing. His aim today for God, let me just tell you, I'm going to show you in His Word, His aim today is to load you with benefits. See, everywhere you go to a store, you go to a restaurant, you go to a new job, friends, a spouse, what are the benefits? Man, this relationship is with benefits with God. And the Bible says He daily loads us with benefits. more than you could ask or think, more than you ever thought was possible. And let me just tell you, and here's the weird part of this whole thing. The strange part of this whole thing is you don't deserve it. You don't ever deserve it. You can't earn it. Oh, but God, I go to church. Oh, but God, I pray. Oh, but God, no. The only reason you love God at all is because he first loved you. God's not lovable unless he loves you. If God's not the healer all the time, I'm out. Because what is his healing provision? It's just simply his love. The Bible even talks about it being bread for his children. That's as simple as it is, as basic it is for God. What we've got to say is, and it's got to be emphatic in our lives. We have to, with passion, God, I receive your benefits today. God, I know that you're gonna load me today with benefits. And God, I receive your benefits today in the name of Jesus. Can everybody just say that? God, I receive your benefits today. See, but how does this happen? It's all through his promises. It's all through his word. We've got to quit looking at the Bible as literature. It's not a roadmap. It's not a owner's manual. It's not. Yeah, it has principles in it, it has guidelines in it, it's got some rules in it, it's got conditions in it, but it's not. The Bible says it's this, it's life to those who find it. And it doesn't just stop there, it's like, oh my gosh, I found life. No. You found life and health to your flesh. Health to everything that's subject to your senses. It's gonna help you in how you think, it's gonna help your emotions, it's gonna help you physically, it's gonna help you mentally. It's gonna help you with your self-esteem. It's gonna help you sexually. It's gonna help you in every aspect of your life. It's life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Look at Psalm 133, real simple. We're gonna stay in the Psalms today mostly. But Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to simply dwell together in unity. And remember that statement, and I want to give Bonnie credit. Man, it's not about being right, it's about getting it right. Man, I'm sitting in these meetings, we're debriefing, and there's government people there, and there's law enforcement people there, and there's military people there, and there's a few pastors there, and they're looking, they're making statements, and not just looking for a verbal response, they're studying us. Man, they're looking at us, just looking at body language, just looking at, okay, how's he gonna react to this? And you know what? I just said, but I just wanna be in unity. I don't care to be right on this subject. I just want us to get it right. Does that make sense? It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edges of his garment. Now listen, see what happens with unity. Unity, man, it's like oil, and oil is the Spirit of God. But what it does, listen, it saturates us so much that it begins to make a mess, and people around it get oily. People around it get that anointing. People around it get God's presence. People around it are affected by God's Spirit. Do you understand that? When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to work today, when you go out to eat, do you understand that what's on you is gonna affect people around you? Man, I'm telling you, it hadn't happened in a long, long time. I've gotten smart in my old age. But I'll tell you, years ago, I'd come home, and it's a 15 or 20 minute drive to my house from the church, and I'd come home and I'd just walk in the door, and Sandy'd be in the kitchen preparing dinner for the family, and I'd walk in, I'd say, hey, what's up? She'd go, whoa, don't bring that in here. Whatever it is, you had 15 minutes on the drive home to get that off you. Do not bring that in this house. I'm like, and like most, how many of you guys are raising sons? Men turn into teenagers, and they go, what? That's what I'm like. She's like, nope, don't bring that in here. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Let me just tell you what's on you, how people, listen, if people are mean to you, there's probably something on you. I'm just saying. I'm saying that without pointing any fingers. I'm picking people out though right now. I'm judging some of you guys in my heart. I gotta guard my heart so I don't do that while I'm preaching to you. But I'm just saying, there's something on you that provokes a reaction or a response from other people. I believe there's an attraction or a repellent that's on our lives in that regard. And it's on you. I mean, you guys, I'm looking at Jason Stoltz, who became some kind of clown character in the queue at the Nightmare last night. There was something on him last night. And some people were laughing and pointing and acting like, it's funny too, when that 15-year-old boy walks up, it's like, man, you're not bothering me at all. It's like, that means you're screaming, it bothers you a lot, and you're just trying to front him. That's all you're trying to do. And you're trying to just show that, like, you're a third of a man and not just a boy anymore. But there's something on you. And see, on us, what's on your life? And when we dwell together in unity, man, there's something on us that's very attractive to the world. You get me on that? It's like the dew of Hermon. See, this dew, it wasn't like we have dew here. It wasn't like that dew. The dew of Hermon is the dew of, listen, like a torrential downpour had just hit. It was sloppy wet around there. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. And this is the deal here. See, what you allow on your life is going to command one of two things. It's going to command the blessing, or it's going to command a curse. You get to pick. Man, your body language right now is attracting blessing, or it's attracting a curse. The words of your mouth are going to attract a blessing, or they're going to attract a curse. See, a blessing is something that lifts your life. A curse is something that suppresses your life. So listen, you can attract one or the other. But the blessing is this: life forevermore, meaning life no matter what. Well, but I've had an injury, life. Yeah, but I've been hurt, life. But I'm divorced, life. But I don't have papers, life. See, that's the whole idea. Man, that whether you're in a detention center and they're gonna send you back to your country of origin, or you're thinking about quitting your job, or you're thinking about walking out of your marriage, or you're thinking about, or whatever it is, you're considering, listen, what would it take for you to consider the call of God that's on your life? See, I have to do that by nature of what I do every day. I have to consider the call of God on my life. Man, am I gonna drive by a homeless person that's asking for money? Am I gonna drive by and not flip a few bucks to them? You know what I have to do? I'm not thinking, how much money do I have in my pocket? Man, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, man, I pastor a church. I'm a Christian. There's a call in my life. And there's people say, yeah, but, and I've heard experts say, don't give those people money. We know what they're buying. You don't know what they're buying. It's like, that's not why I'm giving it. Are you listening to me here? Our distribution center, a third of those people are really poor, and let's help them. A third of those people are old. Let's help them. And a third of those people are just lazy. Okay, let's help them too. It's like, there's literally these people walking in. I watch these people laying their lives down, greeting them at the door, and these guys are on their phone and walk right by them, ignore them. Just walk right by them, and I'm like, hey, stop. That person just said hello to you. But you know what? They still get groceries. See, people skip the service. They still get groceries. Why? Because that's who we are. What do? We give groceries. What do? We help people. What do? Man, we're not judging. See, here's what's interesting is Luke 6:38 says, give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And everybody's cheering, man, I can't wait to give. I can't wait to give because there's going to be buckets of money coming back on me. But that's not a standalone verse. The punctuation doesn't stop before that verse and start at that verse. It flows from the previous verses. It says, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive, shoot. Now, wait a second. Don't judge. How many of you guys made it through that round? Huh? No, for real, your life, you don't judge. Okay, you made it. Hey, I made it through. Don't judge, don't condemn. It's like, oh, shoot. Okay, you make it through that? Okay, you haven't made it through those two, but I'm gonna use you as an example. So you make it through the second round. The second round is, I don't judge, I don't condemn. Okay, good, now what's the third one? Forgive. It's like, no. You can't throw forgive in there. And then if you can pass those three, we'll take your money. We don't want your money until you don't judge, Don't condemn, forgive, and give, and then God will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that men will give into your bosom. See, so how in the world do people say, man, I've given and I've given and I've given, and man, when am I gonna get? You're not gonna get unless you don't judge. Don't condemn, forgive and give. This church service is designed to help you fulfill God's purpose and God's promise in your life. Can I tell you that's all I care about? Hey, I got a new job. Do you want to hear about it? Yeah, I'd love to hear about it. I want to know how it's taking you a step closer to God's purpose in your life. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to have to move. I'll have to find a new church. I'm like, how do you do that? Well, you know, it's okay, but man, I'm gonna go, and my family's gonna stay here, but I'm gonna go, and we're gonna make it work. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, time out. Make what work? Man, you got a teenage son that's getting picked on at school. How does that work if you're not here? I'll tell you, I personally believe our kids can handle any bully that they face in life if they've got parents that sit down and look them in the eye just for a few minutes every day after school. That's all it's gonna take. That's all it took with me, with my dad. How's it going? It's going good. How's Chucky Phillips doing? Well, Chucky Phillips is fine. You guys buddies? Yeah, we're okay. He picks on me every day. I didn't say that. But just my dad, just reinforcing, man, I'm accepted. I'm beloved. I'm in. There's family. Chucky's easy. Chucky's probably in prison today. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I know where I want my life planted. See, I'm not selling. I'm just sold. I'm sold that if you're planted in the house of the Lord, you're going to flourish. You want to flourish, you got to be planted. Well, I could do it without it. Yeah, good luck. Roll the dice, man. We're not rolling dice in here. We're not checking the... Let me just tell you, we could care less about the odds. What's Kyle going to do? Kyle's going to win. Why? Because he's blessed coming in. He's blessed going out. He's blessed in the city. He's blessed in the field. Whatever he puts his hand to will prosper. Whatever. Yeah, but man, God's called me to do this. I don't care what God's called you to do. Just do it heartily as unto the Lord. Let's go to the next level in life. There's another level above the level you're living. Newsflash. There's better life for you. Let's go to that better life. Let's go to that next level. Why do you think you're here today? You're not here today to check the box. You don't get a gold star in your chore chart in heaven. God's not saying, oh, look. Oh, they went to church. The biggest commitment I've ever made in my life, ever. Man, getting married to Sandy, having kids, all those were little commitments compared to the one big commitment. And the big commitment wasn't making Jesus Lord of my life. That was easy. I was hungover. I just repeated what a guy said. How do you feel? I feel like crap. I walked out of a drunk tank at 5 this morning. How do you think I feel? I'm standing in front of a bunch of clip-on tie, hairsprayed people. How do you think I'm feeling? No, but you know what? When I made the decision, that's it. I'm going to church, and I'm going to be there every week. That's the biggest commitment I've ever made in my life. Changed everything. We raise our lives to the purpose of forgiveness and restoration and healing and direction. I'm looking at this kid with the plaid shirt on right there, and I'm just thinking, man, if he just gets a whisper of direction in his life today. Yeah, he's hoping it's not him. He knows who it is. And he's sitting there going, how come I get caught every single time? And this joker's sitting next to me. Everybody thinks he's an angel. He's the one that's doing all this stuff. See, because all of that stuff, direction, it all comes when we don't allow our personal doctrine to accommodate low level and poor thinking. A victim mentality. No one likes that. Man, you're not going to attract God's blessing when you're a victim. You have nothing to prove in life, nothing, except that you trust God. That's your proving ground. Your proving ground isn't how many words a minute you can type. They still do that. Your proving ground isn't how fast you could run a 40-yard dash. Your proving ground isn't what your vertical jump is. Your proving ground isn't how many strikeouts you've had. No, your proving ground is, do you trust God? In Psalm 18 and verse 16, he said, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He got me out of all this trouble. And he delivered me from my strong enemy. Well, you don't get what I'm facing. You don't get what I'm having to deal with. From those who hated me. For they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. The Lord is where I put my trust. He also brought me into a broad place, the place he delivered me because he delighted in me. We're here to reveal and draw greatness out of you. That's why we're here. Man, I'm looking at Jordan that's up here singing, and I'm thinking, there is dadgum greatness. I look at Opetta, there's greatness. There's greatness in him. And you know what? You're here today, and Chano will get up, and Chano very respectfully say, man, let's just sing one more song. I love this. We want to give you an opportunity to worship. You know what it really is doing? We have an opportunity to draw greatness out of these guys. Man, that's why you brought these kids from McKinney, because you have the opportunity. There's something great in them. This just gives them another opportunity to draw greatness out of them. Our takeaway today in Psalm 18, 19, and here's another translation of this verse. His love broke open the way, and he brought me into a beautiful, broad place. You're not constrained anymore. You're not trapped anymore. He rescued me because his delight is in me. See, God gave his son Jesus because he loves us. And that love, it's not the kind of, hey, bro, hey, you don't have to go to hell. Do you understand? I don't believe hell was created for human beings. That was not God's plan. The deception of the enemy takes people there, herds people there. But God gave his son Jesus because he delights in you. He can't wait till you get out of bed in the morning. Man, that's if you're drained and you're tired of the day, it's because you don't realize that God puts his delight in you, and the reason he gives you sleep is so that you can just refresh. God doesn't want you anxiously going to sleep. He wants to visit you in your sleep. Man, I had a dream. Man, I saw a vision. Man, it was this two-lane dirt path, this two-rutted dirt path through the woods. And you wind your way through the woods and you get to a clearing. And that clearing, there was all this activity and people throwing frisbees and footballs are flying in the air. And just people everywhere. People, joy filled everybody. And there's a barn sitting in the middle of it, and the barn's just reverberating. And you walk into the barn, and you look over to the left, and there's all these people sitting on hay bales, and people up in the loft that were, their legs are hanging over the edge. They're sitting in the loft, and there's just so much excitement. And you turn the other side, and there's this huge sound stage, and there's this band that just is, and there's so much passion and so much. And now here we are. That was 1979. Now here we are in 2019, and it's Guts Church. I'm just living that vision. I'm just living that dream. I'm just living that. And I had people come up to me and said, man, better people than you have tried to do what you're about to do. Man, you got a wife and two babies. That's before our surprise Brooke Kennedy came along. But people said, man, better. And I'm thinking, better men than me. And I'm thinking, and then I start thinking, yeah, you know what? I think you're right. Shoot, now 300,000 salvations later, who cares? Better men tried it. I tried. You hooked in. Man, you don't think you're a big deal. David, you're a big deal here. Man, I'll see David in public, and every time I see him, it lifts me. Man, that's my guy, Tom. I mean, this is how this works, but you know what? It's because God delights in you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.